Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with my daughter, Rachel Herbeck. Rachel is 24 years old. She's the youngest of our four children. She's home visiting us here in Ann Arbor. She lives in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and works for the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and thought I'd get a chance to interview her to talk about not only the work of the conference, but what God's doing in her life. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs, you could, Monday and Tuesday shows, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. Rachel's been with us so far this week and has shared some really wonderful things. So welcome back, Rach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. So we ended yesterday talking about, really the whole show yesterday was dedicated on the power of the Word of God and the difference that it makes in our lives. And so I thought today would be kind of fun to just take a look at some of the favorite passages you have, because you were talking about how these passages have really changed your life, your perception of yourself and the Lord and the rest of it. So fire away. You can pick any one you want. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
We're just actually going to go from Genesis all the way through. I mean, there's a lot. And I think just to echo something that I said in the last program, if you didn't tune in, I think something that Scripture did for me was open up for me through particularly the writings of St. Paul and St. Peter and some of the other apostles of actually what we have access to, what I have access to through Jesus, you know, what Jesus has done and in what ways he gives me access to the Father. And so I think what recently, you know, over the last couple months, one of the verses that I feel like I can never get enough out of, we were talking about, you know, going through Scripture like a cow chews its cud, getting all the juices out of that. I feel like I can never get the juices out of is just the beginning of 1 Peter. I mean, both 1 and 2 Peter are extremely rich and amazing, amazing books. But just this first, even five verses of 1 Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, you are chosen and destined by God the Father, sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ, and sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. So I'm going to pause there because that's just the introduction. That's how Peter greets people. I'm going to start greeting people like that. You know, he lays out in his greeting even exactly who we are and really everything that we need to know about us and our lives in that greeting, right? One, that we're chosen by God. We've been chosen from our birth, that we've been destined by God the Father. And so we have a destiny for the Father, with the Father in heaven, sanctified by the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus and sprinkled with his blood. That's basically everything you need to know about yourself in the introduction of 1 Peter.
Well, let me ask you, so let's look at those three words again. You said chosen, destined, sanctified. Just chosen. What does that mean? I mean, you touched on it a little bit, like what does it mean to you kind of in your heart when you hear it?
Sure. It harkens me back to some of the verses in, you know, Jeremiah and Isaiah when, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's what it makes me think of. And so it's this sense of, for me, that before anything happened in my life, before I sinned, before I did anything, before anybody knew me, God knew me, you know, and he chose me and he formed me particularly. So I think it sets me off in the discussion of even just this verse and moving forward of, that's where I start, right? Mm-hmm. That's the starting place that in an individual and particular way, God picked me and he picked you. And so I think that sets us up for the rest of our lives. So I think that being able to rest in that particularity and that individuality of the chosenness, that it's not just a general choosing. God's like, I need to choose a bunch of people. Okay, I'll choose all these people that were born in 1994, you know, but there's a particularity to the chosenness that God knew me, he formed me, he chose me for a purpose, as Peter continues on. But I think starting with that, that's really the foundation, you know, that God has chosen me, he's chosen you. Mm-hmm. And he had the choice not to choose you, and he still did.
Yeah. And in particular, so that was the God made you and designed you in a particular way. Mm-hmm. He wanted you to be the unique person that you are. And then there's another dimension, I think, of the chosen here, this passage from Peter saying that you've been chosen by the Father in Christ Jesus, and so you've been chosen for salvation, right? That you've been given a share. Jesus said, you did not choose me. It's interesting. You did not choose me, but I chose you, right? We're chosen, then we're destined. What's the destiny? What's the destiny piece, right? Yeah, heaven. Yeah. So that you're chosen to share in the destiny that belongs to him. He's the chosen. He's the beloved son. He's given us his relationship with the Father. Mm-hmm. And that means we're going to share in his destiny. And his destiny is to live in the glory of the Father forever. And so he said here, here's another question I want to pitch to you, that you've been chosen and destined and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean?
Right. So the Holy Spirit is the gift given us, given to us by Jesus, right? And so the Holy Spirit makes us like Jesus. Mm-hmm. It actually doesn't make us even just look like Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't cover us with a blanket. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit is a tool. We talked about tools in our other episode, a relational tool that sanctifies us and makes us like Jesus, so makes us holy. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit and living in the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to make us like Jesus, to make us Jesus.
So sanctified means holiness, right?
Yeah.
To be set apart. So
yeah.
Jesus, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, sets us apart. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity that helps the life of God come alive in us and makes it possible for us to be there. And then he says, okay, so you've been chosen, destined, and sanctified for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. You want to say anything about those two things? For obedience to Jesus Christ.
Right. So I think Jesus shows us when Jesus came as the Word, when the Father sent him to earth to do all of this for us, to give us a destiny, to give us a share in his inheritance, all these things that we're talking about. Jesus was the perfect and the faithful witness to the Father. So he was perfectly obedient to the Father. I mean, you read the Gospels. Yes, Jesus was concerned about us and concerned about his disciples more than anything. He's concerned about the will of his Father, of doing the will of his Father, of being obedient to his Father. And so I think really when we're obedient to Jesus, we're obedient to the Father. You know, so for me, that means following what Jesus does. To be obedient to Jesus is to do what Jesus does, which is to do what the Father asks.
No, it's good. Yeah.
And then sprinkling with his blood is the sign, right? That's the sign. That's kind of, it even makes me think of, you know, in the Old Testament, when the story of Moses taking the Israelites out, when they put the blood on the doorpost so that the angel passes over them. But the sprinkling of Jesus' blood is the sign for us of the covenant. It's the sign of that inheritance, that destiny, that chosenness that Peter talks about is Jesus's blood, right? The blood of Jesus seals all that for us.
Yeah, no, very good. And I keep thinking of the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John. You know, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Jesus said, I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. And obedience is Jesus' love language. He said, this is what the Father gets. And so Peter is saying essentially here, you've been chosen and destined to follow in the footsteps of Jesus all the way home to the Father's house and to share in his glory. Mm-hmm. So it's God's initiative, it's God's action, and it's God's power. You're sanctified. Mm-hmm. And what does he want to do in us? He wants to teach us how to love. He wants to teach us in obeying Jesus. He's teaching us how to obey the Father and to live like sons. He said, look, I'm the son. I want to show you how to live like a son of my Father.
Right. And I think too, even just, you know, reading this short passage, I think sometimes when I discuss with people, they're like, well, that's not practical. How is that practical for me every day when I go to work? You know, and I would say even just two things to point out for people who I don't think naturally practically, I think in ideas and excitement. And so for people who are practically oriented, I mean, the practical implications of this is one, we're talking about obedience. So in any process of discernment, right, that shows us the number one question to ask is this in obedience to God, right? Is this something that Jesus would do? Is this an obedient thing? So even in practical action, but then also looking, even just taking this one verse and saying, if I even loving this verse, if I woke up, read this verse and actually walked in the reality of what this verse is telling me, right? That I am chosen by God, that I'm destined for heaven, that I'm going to be made holy like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that that is all sealed by the blood of Jesus that has been spilled for me. If I lived like that every single day in that reality, my life would look totally different. The lives of the people around me would look totally different. The world would look totally different. You know, if we lived like that, we would walk out of our houses and we would change environments. God would change environments through us. And so I think we give the power that this has when we actually put it in our hearts and not just read it, but believe it, that changes the way we even interact with the barista at the coffee shop.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. It's identity forming. It grounds us in our actual identity. It's not like it's just selling us an identity like the culture does. Mm-hmm. And we know that so many people are just struggling and wounded and searching for an identity. Mm-hmm. And the reason you can't find it here, because the world serves up different kinds of identities, mm-hmm. and they never fully satisfy, because that's not who we are ultimately. Right. We're ultimately children of God. Now, I want to just jump in with a passage from Romans 8, Rach. We were talking about some of our favorite passages. So there's a lot in the whole chapter of Romans 8 that's just fantastic. It's one of the great chapters in the entire Bible. But verse 14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Now, we just talked about, Peter was exalting in the fact that you've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You've been set aside to make holiness, really, is living in radical obedience and love to God. So Paul is echoing the same thing, essentially, that Peter is saying. He says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." You become a child of God, son of God, daughter of God, by virtue of the gift of the Holy Spirit, sharing in the life of God that leads you into a whole new way of living. And then he goes on in verse 15 to say, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of sonship. When we cry out, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him." There's a lot there in that passage. We could spend the next week talking about it, but the essential piece for me is the Spirit of God gives us identity as sons or daughters of God. And what is that identity when it's internalized? You were just saying, man, what can happen to us if we actually believe this stuff? Mm-hmm. So Paul says here, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." Mm-hmm. I've got some thoughts about that, but I want to know what you think about that.
Right. I mean, I think that's how we live. Mm-hmm. If I look at my own life, even with how much I say I love scripture and read it on my day-to-day basis, I think that's how I live, right? Because how we live is the fruit of what we believe. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot to unpack there, but the essential question is, do you believe that you're an heir? Do you believe that you're a son of God? Do you believe that you're a daughter of God? Not just that gets a part of what Jesus got, but you get all of what Jesus gets, mm-hmm. right? Because Jesus came as a man so that you could get that, so that you could have that. And so I think for me, when I read it, the essential question is, am I living like an heir in the Father's house, or am I living as a slave?
Yeah.
Because so actually, I don't have to wait until I get to heaven to live as an heir, right? And St. Paul is saying, don't live in fear as slaves. And so he was seeing people doing that, right? He was seeing people living as slaves. And so it's not just, shoot, you have to live as a slave until you get to heaven, and then you get to be an heir. But the access to the sonship is now.
Yeah. And I think he makes such an important point here. We don't need to fear because we're no longer slaves. We're not enemies of God. We are children of God. John the Apostle said he gave us power to become children of God. So God has acted to give us a new relationship with him. It's real. It's transformational. And Paul touches on this beautiful reality. The Spirit we've been given speaks to our spirit and reveals to us that God is our Father. Mm-hmm. That's the key for us to really come into a new, unshakable identity,
right,
that gives us a sense of peace and that I'm loved by God, and mm-hmm. I know who I am, where I'm coming from, and where I'm going.
Yeah.
And that's where security is. That's where it's grounded. And it's a gift from God. Now, the time is flying again, Rach. You have one more day in you, at least?
I do.
When you come back, we can talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. Friends, thanks for tuning in. It's so much fun to hang out with my daughter. Don't get to do it very often, but to do it with you on the radio is a lot of fun. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.